Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so thankful that you've joined us as we seek to honor God and bring glory to His name. And with today's podcast, focus a little more on why the church is essential. And we have an excellent guest here, a friend of mine that I'm getting to know more and more, Pastor Sam Chua. Pastor Sam, it's wonderful to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Rob, for the invitation. Very glad to be able to be here today.
I am delighted to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Vancouver, so I'm one of the few rare people who are born and raised in the city these days. My parents introduced me to the church and Christ, you know, at a young age, you know, but however, I ended up in my youth devoting myself really to academics and achievement and just chasing those things. By 12, you know, I went to the nationals to compete in my favorite sport, that is chess, best sport in the world.
My son likes chess too.
So yes, that's pretty good. That's excellent. I love the other people who are.
It's so non-athletic. So you went and competed. Did you win?
No, I didn't do that great on the national stage, you know, but I was okay. I could hold my own. And
So I was a chess champion. Very few people know this about me. I was a chess champion in grade 3.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I was
Very tight competition.
Well, that makes two of us now, Rob. anyways, it's just academics, you know, played a huge portion of my life. You know, I did my diploma, you know, in music, you know, I was 14. So I went to UBC at 16 to study engineering there and devoted myself also to martial arts. Really, when I look back on it, this was a phase, I would say, of like rebelliousness in my life, just idolizing achievement over God. But I think in His mercy, all of it just came crashing down on me when I was 20 and I had this injury that took me out of sports, lost my tech job, went through a period of severe depression, very angry with God as to why He'd do that through me. But after a couple of months, the Lord really, I would just say, worked on my soul and He opened my eyes to see that I was kind of on this road to hell. And I treated Him really like a genie in a bottle to serve my needs. And I wasn't really worshiping Him or having Him as my soul's treasure and delight. And that really, I think, was a turning point for me in my life. I repented of my sin, just asked Him to turn my life around, a big step, I think, in my sanctification, and just began sharing the gospel very earnestly with people. I felt consumed by the scriptures, wanting to memorize it. Nobody was safe from me on the SkyTrain or on the bus, as you're sharing them as a young Christian does. And, you know, as reading the scriptures, I just felt like also the Lord was saying to me, you're the rich young man, you know, sell everything that you have and follow me. And this is also what led me to a time in which I just started giving away my money. I ended up quitting my engineering job and going by faith back to UBC to do a master's degree, but really on the ground to share the gospel with students on a daily basis. And so that was my introduction to ministry. I did that for a couple of years before being hired.
So a professional student that's really an ambassador for Jesus.
That's right. An ambassador for Jesus by day and a grad student, you know, by night, essentially. Yeah.
So you got pretty serious on us pretty quick. But when you said you went to UBC at 16, I was going to tell you I went to MIT at 15. So I wanted to compete with you. It wouldn't be true, but I wanted to compete a little. So.
That's right. So no, I don't look at it as something I'm particularly proud of as well, simply because I was living for myself. But yes.
Excellent. And then I understand you went to Southern Seminary. Is that correct?
I did. Yeah, I went to Southern Seminary and studied for my MDiv. Met some wonderful people there, just from different parts of the globe who love.
And Wyatt.
Yeah, and Wyatt Graham, who was my neighbor and happens to be, like, you know, the TGC executive director as well. So if I have a claim to fame, it's not me. It's that I know Wyatt Graham, actually.
I don't know Wyatt, so I don't have that claim to fame, but I did go to MIT at 14. So I'm trying to make it better. If I'm not going to tell the total truth, I may as well make it really, really good. Sam, we have a conference coming up. You're one of our speakers, which I'm very thankful for. Can you tell us a little bit about the topic and why you think it's so important that people should attend?
Oh, yeah, that's good. So my topic is number 2 there, the church essential in God's word, taken out of Acts chapter 20, which is the famous speech of Paul to the Ephesian elders. And, you know, in that text, you really see the heart of a man who didn't see ministry as a 9-to-5 kind of job, but it was his lifelong calling. And he labors, you know, for 3 years, you know, admonishing people with his tears and setting an example and absolutely devoted, you know, to teaching them everything so that their blood wouldn't be on his hands. And I think you get to see really the heart of a pastor there and also how you think of the church. In terms of why I think the conference is so critical as it relates to that is because COVID, I think, has forced us as North American Christians to really wrestle with whether or not we see the church as like a day job or something that we attend you know, because of familiarity or because we just think of it as something that fits into the margins of our lives. I mean, COVID has forced us to ask the question, is the church really essential? Is it the center point of our lives following Jesus? And so all these questions, you know, in the pandemic that have come up, like, is a hybrid schedule of part-time online and part-time in-person worship permissible for church members? Or are churches really equipping disciples for spiritual warfare and obedience to Jesus? Or have we really been creating a breeding grounds for self-serving, consumeristic Christianity? These are all fair questions we need to ask, especially in the midst of a culture in which we have government legislation and, you know, a general culture that is pressing on the churches and pushing on us not to teach, preach, or to say certain things. The question is, theologically, where are we? And will we know where to stand if push comes to shove in the future? So the conference, I think, is critical because it helps us address these questions, which are a reality for us today.
I think that's so important. Some of those things I wish you would have said a little slower because they were gold. Mark Jones was on the podcast for the Baptist Church, for our church, last 2 weeks ago, something like that. And he was saying there's this whole movement that started before COVID, but COVID really brought it to light, which was the de-churching of church. Right. And I was reading the other day that there's a number of people now who used to be very committed to church pre-COVID, at least attending church, but actually now are going maybe twice a month, something like that. So it's really having an impact on churches. And I think perhaps even more substantially scary, having an impact on those who claim to be followers of Jesus. I think that consumerism is not a new thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we need to address, because in consumerism, inconvenience means that I won't attend, or if there's something that I can do to receive whatever it is I think I'm receiving from church, then I'll do it in that way if it's a little easier for
right.
me. And I think we want to see the church understood as the body of Christ, as a place we not only go to, but we're there to grow and we're there to give and be stewards of what God has given us to build the church. And so I think it's so important. Some of the things you said, so important. So if you want, you can stop the podcast, go back and listen to it again. We're covering a lot of other topics. I thought, you know, maybe you and I can just talk a little bit about each of those and why they're important. Mark Jones is going to do the essential in God's plan, kind of look at the history of the church, a little bit of theological groundwork. Any comments you want to make on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm really excited to see the speakers that we have at this conference that come from, you know, many different backgrounds, you know, speaking on the same thing. Because we share a common view, you know, of the scriptures, the importance of the word of God leading us, you know, in the church. I think, like, it's very critical that we as believers in Jesus today are working side by side together for the sake of the gospel. You had mentioned the problems that we face with consumeristic North American individualistic Christianity, which really doesn't fit well, I think, with what the New Testament envisions, you know, the Christian life to be. You think about, for example, Jesus, you know, speaking of to his followers, he never spoke about individual people really living isolated lives and making a profession of faith in him and then kind of doing whatever they want. Jesus spoke about his church being built up. Jesus spoke about his followers exhibiting their Jesus-centeredness by the love that they have for one another. I mean, even the New Testament talks, you know, about how believers are to interact with one another. You look at all the one another passages. I mean, there's at least, you know, three dozen, if not more. Love yes. one another, be devoted to one another, outdo one another in honoring each other, like living in harmony with that. Don't pass judgment, make peace, welcome, yeah. instruct, greet. I mean, the list goes on. So in today's yeah. world, I think more than ever, just to be, you know, a Christian means we need to think seriously about not living these individualistic lives, but living lives that are Christian according to the New Testament. And that, of course, means not only in the context of our local church, but also us as believers in different churches here in the city who serve the same Lord, have the same faith, and believe in the scriptures and are willing to stand together, especially against a culture that is rapidly becoming increasingly united, I think, against the morality and the teaching of the church as it is grounded in the Bible.
I think what you said there is so important. I think the local church is plan A of God, and there is no plan B. And we need to network together as those churches who agree. I think one of the great dangers as well is there's a number of churches that will join in with the world in terms of groupthink. And we need to connect with one another as those who are longing to stay loyal to God's word and God's plan and be networked together, I suppose, is the best way to say it. And you look at the speaker lineup we have for this conference, this dedicated day. You have Mark, who's a Presbyterian. You have Sam, you're a, well, I was going to call you Southern Baptist. That wouldn't be fair, would it? What do they call you again? Canadian
National Baptist Convention. We're the little sisters of our mothers in the
little. So, well, if it's American, let's say we're their parent, just because it makes us sound better.
Course.
And then of course, Paul Siemens, who's running our breakout session, just on. He's a Mennonite brethren, and Brett Landry's got some Mennonite brethren in him as well. And then of course, David Short would be with Anik. I think just there you have so many different people faithful to God, different local churches represented. Certainly we're inviting anyone who wants to come and be a part of this. I think one of the great dangers is that we have slipped into a society that has what I call groupthink.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would agree with all the conspiracy theories. I think kind of that's the end time stuff described in the pastoral epistles. But I do think that when you get together with people, you tend to start to agree with those people, and then you tend to start to align your minds with those people. And I'm hoping that at this conference, the Word of God will explode groupthink when it comes to consumeristic Christianity and certainly the view of the local church. Any comments you would want to make on that?
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Rob, on it. I just had a conversation a couple of days ago with an individual who remarked on the fact, that we as a culture, are really, I would say, looking more like each other around the world, because of the advent of the internet. So it's a strange sociological phenomenon in which you have teenagers, in Dubai, who look more like American teenagers than their parents, So there's a lot in common because they all watch Mr. Beast together on YouTube. So they've adopted this same sort of thinking and so on. As a result of that, you have this groupthink around the world. Coupled with the fact that people have shorter attention spans, I think it's a very, very dangerous thing. I think one thing that I often say is that in our world, we are, I would say, the most intellectually, corporately, bright that we've ever been, but yet also, I think, individually dumb at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it.
We've lost actually our ability to think, and therefore we side with, the powers that be and the mantras and the dogmas and the doctrines that they lay out for us, and we just kind of accept them without realizing that many of these types of thinking are flawed. And the problem is, in a globalized world, this kind of groupthink stuff is able to spread like wildfire, and it's not just contained in one area. And unless we have a firm foundation like the Word of God to stand on, be able to point out the flaws in that culture, we too, I think, will easily be consumed by the culture of worldly groupthink rather than God thing. So I think that's critical what you were saying about us standing together on the word together.
Yeah. And I love your emphasis on the word, because I also think there's a danger. I certainly saw it during COVID of groupthink of traditionalists or groupthink of the conservative world or whatever the case may be. I remember the 2016 election, we were watching CNN and then Fox and kind of laughing at the way they told the story so radically different. And I think it's substantially worse now from some of the things you described. And I think it invades the church, and AI is only going to make it worse, certainly more confusing in what is true and what isn't. And we have to be those who allow ourselves to be conformed to the Word of God, transformed in terms of that kind of thinking so that we escape the way the world thinks. And I think you address that very well. We need to be word saturated. We need to help one another. We need to constantly ask that question, where stands it written, free church adage, and together discover what God's word teaches. Now, it's interesting. We come from a number of different denominations to this network, and I hear from some people as I'm interacting with them, one of the reasons they disagree with Christianity is because we disagree on so much. And one of the things I say to them is, actually, we agree on way more than we disagree on. And those faithful to the Word of God, those who have a strong passion to be those who understand it as inerrant, sola scriptura, I suppose, is the word I would go to for the overall summary, actually agree on a ton more than we disagree on. And have you found that as well?
Yeah, absolutely, for certain. I think that a lot of people who say that are those who have little experience, with Christianity. Oftentimes they will say that, religions are all the same, they Islam, Christianity, Hindu, they're all about getting to God. They just have different aspects, you know, of God that they see. I feel like it's a very typical Vancouverite thing, spiritual, but not religious. All the religions point to the same thing. And their view of the church, I think, is like that as well. They just say, well, Christians just disagree on a whole bunch of, you know, things. But the truth of the matter is, I would say you're right, Rob, in that we as believers who hold to the centrality of the scriptures as well have far more in common with each other than we actually have in terms of disagreements. We major on the majors, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his blood, you know, being the atonement for our sins, penal substitutionary atonement, the importance, you know, of the church, sola scriptura. There are many of these things, you know, I mean, that we hold to and agree on. And these are the majors. The other things, you know, that generally people comment on, minor doctrines or the things that they've heard about, really are not like the essentials. So, and I think it's really due to a lack of in-depth knowledge of Christianity in a culture that's largely secular that leads people to these conclusions.
Yeah, I think that's so right. Sam, we're going to let our people go, but I would love for you to say the last word. You can have the last word, and that's an invitation to our June 10th conference. It's at Cloverdale Baptist Church. It will be running from ballpark 8 o'clock, 8:30 till about 4, 4:30, something like that, with some breaks, time to get a lunch, something like that, and get to know a number of other Christians who network around the essentials, who love Jesus, and who are teaching on the church's essentials. So would you give us one last invite, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, I would really encourage those of you who are listening to this to come to the conference. Part of it, I think, is if you believe in the meticulous sovereignty, you know, of God, you have to believe that the pandemic also is under the control of a sovereign and meticulous God who does not make mistakes. And I fear that if we simply go back to business as usual before the pandemic without carefully thinking through the lessons that the Lord has exposed or wanted us to learn as Christians through this thing, then we functionally don't really believe in the meticulous sovereignty of God. And we look at COVID just as a mistake, a blip, you know, but hopefully want to get back to business as usual. So I think that if you believe that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord and he turns it wherever he wills, then we should put some good time and energy into thinking through these things and coming to grips with the ugly things perhaps that have been exposed about us as Christians, to rectify and to bring more into alignment with the Word of God. So I really want to encourage those who are listening to this as well to come to think through this topic of the church being essential and to ask individually and also in the context of your local church, Lord, what is it that you have shown us through this so that we might be more conformed to your Word and might be more pure and pleasing in our individual and corporate lives as your followers? So that's my hope with this conference.
What a fantastic invitation. Hey, I would love for you to write something on meticulous sovereignty. Have a paper there. I'll happily photocopy it and we can give it out to people that attend, because I think if we grasp that, everything else becomes a joy and a privilege of seeking to bring honor and glory to God in the midst of whatever he has allowed in trust and faith and faithfulness to him. Thank you so much for joining us, Sam. Look forward to seeing you and being partners in the gospel with you on this special day and well beyond. It's a delight to have you as a friend, a partner in the gospel, and on this podcast.
Likewise, Rob. Thank you so much for this time. It's been wonderful.